For our reflection this morning, I found this story that was shared online that some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, a little boy decided to go for a swim in the old swimming hole behind his house. He jumped into the water, not realizing or not knowing that an alligator was swimming towards the shore. So he was moving into the lake, whereas the alligator was coming from the other side. And as his mother, looking out the window, saw that the two were coming closer and closer to each other, she ran out and in utter fear started calling out the name of the son as loud as she could. And the boy, on hearing the mother's voice, became alarmed. He turned around, he made a U-turn and to swim to his mother. It was too late. Just as the mother from the dock grabbed the hands of the son, the alligator also grabbed the legs of the boy. And what ensued was an incredible tug of war. The alligator seemed to be much more stronger than the woman, but the woman was also much, much compassionate to let go of his son. A farmer happened to drive by and heard the screams. He raced from his truck, took aim, and shot the alligator. Remarkably, after weeks and weeks in the hospital, the boy survived. His legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attacks of the animal. And so, but he also had scars on his hands, deep scratches where his mother's fingernails had dug into his flesh as she tried to pull back and to hold on to the son. So the newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked if he would show him the scars. And so the boy lifted his pant legs and showed those scars. But he also said, "Look at my arms. I have great scars also." And he said it with so much pride. "I have great scars also." Why? Because my mom would not let go. "I have great scars also in my arms because my mom would not let go." Today is usually known as the Good Shepherd Sunday because the readings every year of the cycle of 3 years on this day comes from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. In the Gospel, as I said, it's always taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter, which talks to us about Jesus being the Good Shepherd. And so a day like this, we are encouraged to pray for vocations, priestly vocations, married life, consecrated life, religious. We are encouraged to pray for people who would heed the voice of God and put themselves at the service of others. And when we talk about good shepherds here, now we are talking about not just only priests and those who have a religious life and vocation as such, but anybody with any position of responsibility, be you a parent, a teacher, a politician, a businessman, a boss, whoever you are, and you are in a responsible position, you have people that work under you, we need, we're encouraged to promote that culture of the Good Shepherd. But in today's Gospel, Jesus identifies himself as the gate to the sheepfold. And in this way, he highlights the self-sacrificing element of his own life. The good shepherd is one who lays down his life for his sheep. He is not like the hired hand who runs away in time of crisis. Jesus, being the gate to the sheepfold, stresses a very important role in providing safety, freedom, and security for the sheep in the fold. Considering Palestine at the time, shepherds literally at the end of the day would have to drive their flocks back home, and they would have to drive them into a fenced area which had no secure doors or gates. The shepherd at night then would literally lie across the entrance to that fenced area, and his body therefore became the gate, so that any sheep that would come in or exit would literally have to go over his body. This is where the image of the Jesus being the gate comes from. He is, for me today, he is like the little boy's mother who will not let go but would lay his life for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his followers, for he said, "I have come so that they will have life and have it more abundantly." And to this end, he had scars to show. We only have to remember after his resurrection when he spoke to Thomas. He said, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand, put it in my side. Doubt no longer, but believe." He had the scars to show that he laid down his life. We just heard in the second reading, he carried our sins upon himself. By his stripes we are healed. So Peter, whom we heard in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, I would say also had his personal scars. But unlike those of Jesus Christ, the scars of Peter were self-inflicted, just like any of us would have them. He had been absolutely consumed with fear during the arrest and trial of Jesus Christ, even denying him to save his own life. But on the contrary, Jesus empowered him with the Holy Spirit, and then he boldly proclaimed Jesus, the risen Lord, the Messiah. And because of his listening to the voice of Jesus, the authentic voice, and experiencing that love and healing from the Lord, he could now boldly proclaim before the people he feared what they had done to the Lord, calling them to account. And we heard it. Those who heard Peter speak were horrified. What could they possibly do about what they had done? Had they missed their chance? No, not yet. Peter offers them a way out. Salvation is still offered. It is offered to them. And all they need to do is repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. And many eagerly embrace this compassionate voice, compassionate offer, and were baptized. And the scripture tells us that about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. And we know that in anger, we know that sometimes most of us would act impulsively, swept up in fear, hysteria, or even collective insanity. We do things that we later have deep regrets. Today, I can say you and I, and all who heard Peter speak to them, also have our scars. And it is Jesus who heals them. Those scars are not caused by or do not come from an alligator attack or anything quite dramatic. But some of those scars are unsightly and have caused a deep regret. They are because in our past life, we probably didn't listen to the voice of God, we didn't listen to the good shepherd, and we listened to competing voices of the world and made choices that we regret. All is not over. Because God would not let go. In the midst of your struggle, He has been holding on to you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that those who believe in Him may not perish, but have eternal life. So if you have Christ in your life, you have become a child of God. He wants to protect you and provide for you in every way. But sometimes we foolishly wade into dangerous situations. Just like this small boy, the swimming hole of life is full of peril and danger. And we often forget that the enemy is waiting to attack. Peter talks to us in one of his letters. Beware, the enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to eat. Stand up to him, strong in faith. Admittedly, in the world there are many competing voices. Voices that come from the thieves. Voices that come from the stranger. Voices that come from the enemy and will rob us of our salvation. As good sheep who belong to the sheepfold, we need to listen to the authentic voice of Christ and respond to it. He died to save you and I. He constantly shepherds us. And if you have scars of His love on your arms, be very grateful. He did not let go, and He will not let you go. However far we have strayed from the path of the Lord, we just need to hear His voice and come back to the fold through the sacraments of reconciliation and to be nourished by the spiritual food of the Holy Eucharist. Amen.